We think about names this morning. Many of you, when you had your child, you thought about, what am I going to name my child? That was something very important to us. I write down many of your names and your family members' names so that I can remember those names. We think about names, and we think about names in America. I wrote this down on my notes as far as preaching this message this morning. I really believe this morning, as we think about, I want you to notice this statement in verse 9. We talk about our Heavenly Father, which is how to praise is our Father, which art in heaven. And then it says, hallowed be thy name. I want y'all to say that out loud with me this morning. Hallowed be thy name. Say it again, because some of you are getting ready to go to sleep. Hallowed be thy name. There is no name like the name of our God this morning. I think we need to understand today, and what I want to look at, I'm going to give you three thoughts and we'll go home. Number one, I want to talk about what does this mean? Number two is, how do we do this? How do we hallow God's name? And number three, why is this so important? Why would the Lord, when he's teaching us as his followers how to pray, why would he say to us, hallowed be thy name? We think about names and what they mean. We look at names a little differently than the Jews did, in the Old Testament in particular. In fact, I want to start off this morning about talking about what does this mean? When we say, hallowed be thy name, and by the way, let me say this to you. What we need today in America, we talk about needing finances, and we talk about flood relief and things going on in Florida. We pray, and all that's a need, of course. And we talk about how we need to transform America. We need to have a stronger military. We need political victories and all those things. And I agree really with all those things. But I really believe this morning, if you study history and if you read the Word of God, what we need in America more than ever before is to put God back where he's supposed to be in our lives. We need to hallow his name again. We don't really look at the name of God the way that we used to look at the name of God in our culture. It used to be that you very rarely ever heard God's name taken in vain. Now, it's a common thing. And even I hear Christians, I heard a preacher recently, right on Twitter, use cursing from the pulpit. I thought it was cursing. I thought, what has happened to us? And I really believe we've gotten away from hallowing the name of God. I want to read to you some definitions that'll be better than what I can give to you. I came across a few of these. I want to read to you what this is talking about. We think about, what does it mean? We think, what does this mean? Hallowed be thy name. Sometimes, by the way, have you ever noticed when you read your Bible, you'll read through things and you just kind of do it out of, habit or tradition. But have you ever really stopped and thought, what does it actually mean, what you're saying? I see it on, you'll see some ball team on TV and they'll quote the Lord's Prayer before a ball game. And I'm thinking, do you really know what you're actually saying when you quote the Lord's Prayer? Sometimes folks will say John 3:16. So you really understand what you're really saying right there? Does you really see what God's word says? I want to read this to you. Think about hallowing God's name. Hallowed be your name. This is a part of the Lord's Prayer. The American Dictionary defines hallowed as sanctified, consecrated, highly venerated, like the hallowed halls of a great university. To hallow is to make or set apart as holy, to respect or honor greatly, to revere. In simpler terms, we often use hallowed to refer to someone whom we should treat with awe and respect because they deserve it. Why does the Lord's Prayer contain this phrase? Hallowed be your name. The phrase follows the opening of the prayer, which directly addresses God. So we know that the phrase means that God's name should be hallowed. When we review the dictionary definition of hallowed, we can understand why God should be hallowed, but why should his name be hallowed? To understand why God's name should be hallowed, we first need to understand that the Jews, God's chosen people, had different naming customs than we do today. To a Jew, a person's name was more than just a way to identify them physically. Their name also reflected their nature. Jews named their children in a way that expressed the child's mission in life. Because of this custom, the Jewish people had about 16 different names in the Old Testament. Each name reflected a different aspect of God's character. So God's name are considered by the Jews to be just as holy as God himself. In fact, God's names were and are so holy that the Jews, that they would never write his name full for fear of bringing disrespect to it and to God. In fact, I did some study and I found out that they would change the pen. They would not write his name again. They would not say, spell out his full name. That's where we get the name Yahweh. This is a combination of two different names for God. They didn't want to say it out loud. They didn't want to disrespect the name of God. When we think about this name, the name of our Lord, I'll give you just a few of these. We don't use these much. We don't talk about these much in church. But you need to understand, when the Lord is saying, hallowed be thy name, he is saying to these Jews here on this Sermon on the Mount, he is saying, hallowed be the name of God. What a statement that he's making. Here's some names for God. For example, y'all heard of Jehovah. Jehovah will have another name with it. For example, Jehovah Jireh is used in Genesis 22. The Lord will see to it, or the Lord will provide. And I remind you that that is used when Abraham is going up on the mountain with his son. He says, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh will provide. We think about the name of God. We think of Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord our banner, our victory in Exodus 17, 15. We think of Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace in Judges 6, 24. We think of Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord who is our righteousness in Jeremiah 23, 6. Jehovah Rahi, the Lord my shepherd, in Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I like that one, don't you? Jehovah Rafika, in Exodus 15, 26, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Shammah, in Ezekiel 48, 35, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of battles. All these names of the Lord. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that you say, our Father who art in heaven. In fact, we want to talk about Elohim, which means God. Jehovah El Elyon, which means the Lord Most High. Jehovah Kadesh, which means the Lord our Sanctifier. El Shaddai, which means the All-Sufficient One, or the Almighty God. Adonai, which means Lord. All of these names mean God. And so when Jesus Christ is saying to us in the Word of God, in the Sermon on the Mount, when he is saying these things this morning, hey, this is a big statement to say, hallowed be thy name. This is not a flippant, trivial thing. We're not playing around. This isn't some just religious thing that we go through. This past week, my wife and I were able to, after we dropped Danielle off, I ended up in a place, and it's a long story, but I kind of got separated from Cindy, so I was exploring, and I just kind of ducked into a place that looked spiritual. Preachers, we don't go to bars, we go to spiritual places. Amen. Amen. And I found myself, I may have should have went the other direction, but I found myself in a Greek Orthodox church, a temple, a shrine, a national shrine. It's in St. Augustine. I was sitting there, I don't think a Baptist preacher ought to be in here. But I was already in. I was looking around. Ornate drawings, ornate things on the wall. Like very nice people, very kind. But I looked around and I said, wow, this is amazing. But I sat there and I thought, man, this isn't the God I know. Had these weird drawings from the 1600s in it and stuff. I was like, what in the world? And I thought, man, we're not hallowing his name. Now, they were being very serious about it. They're being serious about their artwork. When I started thinking about hallowing his name, I started thinking about how serious we ought to take the name of God. I think sometimes we're almost flippant and trivial about his name. We think about these names and what they mean, and we think about how serious it was to the Jews that they wouldn't say his name out loud, and they would bathe themselves after they wrote his name. Oh, we got to go. We don't want to discredit. Here the Lord Jesus says, when you pray, you say, hallowed be thy name. At the name of, by the way, at the name of Jesus, the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall. But what does it say? It says, at the what? The name of Jesus. Do you remember when you were unsaved? Maybe back when you were a kid, or maybe before you got saved. Do you remember when, I don't know if you were like this, but I remember this. I remember this as a backslidden Christian. Somebody say the name of Jesus, and that name would sting. It would convict me. It'd bother me. I was like, oh, here we go. Somebody's going to bring up Jesus again. Amen. And that name, they say Jesus Christ. I didn't know much, but I knew one thing. When they said that name, it was serious. When they said that name, what it meant. Now, we say, hallowed be thy name. Can I say this morning, church, we need to get back to hallowing the name of God. I'm gonna close with that in a moment. But then we think, how do we do that, Brother Dallas? How can I, as a Christian, how can I, as a church member, hallow the name of God? Now, I'll be honest with you. If you're not serious about your Christian walk, you can just go ahead and take a nap, because I only want to talk to those who are serious. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. One thing that's really been put on my heart recently is, hey, just deal with the ones that really want to serve me. I need not many. I remind you, he turned the world upside down with a handful of people. God doesn't have to have a big crowd to get what he wants done. Amen. God will do what he wants to do with whom he wants to do it. But if you're serious this morning, if you really want to honor God in your life, and by the way, we're living in a time in our culture, even in our churches. In fact, the most popular preachers in America, their whole sermons are about how they are the king of the whatever story. They put themselves, I've listened to them, and they'll put themselves in the story. The most famous books that you see on the Christian shelves are How You Can Overcome Your Goliath, How You Can Overcome Your Jordan, How You Can Overcome. Let me say something to you this morning, church. The Bible's not written with you and I in the center. The Bible is written with Jesus Christ in the center. Amen. We've got to go, oh, I want the power of positive thinking. That's not in the Bible. We are sinners deserving a hell. Hey, and God saved us out of a hell. And we ought to thank God for what he's done for us. It's not about us overcoming. Now look, you say, well, you don't think Christians can overcome? Yes, through and by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. We're not going to get to heaven and say, oh, you overcome your Jordan. You overcome your David. We're going to get to heaven and say, hey, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Blessed be his name. Not blessed be my name. Blessed be his name. When I see him, and I see some of you all, they'll repost it on Facebook, and I think, are you really listening to what this man's preaching? He's preaching secular humanism. He's not preaching about Jesus Christ. He's preaching about himself. Look at me. I can overcome. I can overcome. I'm going to tell you what, friend. You and I ought to get on our knees and thank God that he loves us and he cared for us. And hallowed be his name. When we pray, we don't pray, oh, God, I need this and I want that. Look, we pray. There's nothing wrong with asking and receiving. But we got to start off our prayer. We got to start off our walk with God of hallowing his name. We don't come to church this morning so everybody will pat us on the back and say how great we are. Hey, we ought to come to church this morning and worship him. When we sing in the choir, oh boy, what a beautiful singer. We can say what a beautiful song, absolutely. But we don't do that and say, oh man, they're great. Oh, he's a great preacher. He's a good man. That's a good family. Hey, we ought to come to church this morning and say, hallowed be his name. Hallowed be his name. How do we do that? I'll read to you what the old Puritans used to say. Y'all right? This is convicting. I'll be honest with you, it's convicted me. How do I hallow God's name? Let me give you some things real quickly. When we profess his name in our meeting, in the Holy Assembly, we do honor to his name. It's a shame that churches, I went into that, whatever it is, Greek Orthodox, I don't know what it is. And I saw a lot of pictures of priests that helped found churches in America. Well, St. Augustine is one of the first cities in the United States. And I mean, I appreciate them venerating a priest, I guess, if you can appreciate that. But I remember thinking to myself, man, I don't want to be venerated. I don't want a picture of Dallas Payton in this church. We didn't come here to worship Dallas Payton. Amen. Now, if Cindy wants to have on her wallet, she's my baby. That's all right. We don't come here to worship a man or a family. This is not called Peyton Baptist Church. Y'all all right? Or your name or your family or our community. This ain't about us. Hey, can I say this to you? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the Lord. How do we honor him? We honor him about bringing up his name in our holy assembly. We honor him or sanctify God's name, and we have a high appreciation and esteem of him and set him highest in our thoughts. You think highly of God? When you hear the Lord's name in vain, does it bother you? By the way, we as Christians now, even Christians, we say gee and golly and gosh, goodness and God. We say, some of you even use the Lord's name in vain. You realize the Lord told us that one of the commandments is to not take the Lord God's name in vain. Understand that, right? The reason was because his name is different than every other name. This isn't just one of many gods. This isn't Vishnu, the elephant-headed god of Hinduism. You believe they got a god that has an elephant head? Y'all forgive me. I appreciate elephants, but I'm not worshiping no elephant. Amen. Go to a zoo, you won't worship one long either, amen? They're nasty. I'm not worshiping elephant-headed God or one of them arms, look off something off a video game, have six arms on each side. So do they believe that? Absolutely. They'll light a candle in the corner of their house to a God with three arms on each side. I remember video games when I was in the 80s, they had three arms. What was it? Mortal Kombat. Come out of six hand arms. I said, what is that? Hinduism. You and I need to make sure this morning that we have a high appreciation of His name. We honor God, hallow God's name, when we trust in Him. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm, we have trusted in His holy name. We have trusted in His holy name. Are we trusting in His name this morning? We hallow His name when we never make mention of it, but with the highest reverence. By the way, Hollywood, they love to say, they don't say, oh, Allah, but they'll say, oh, God, won't they? Oh, God. By the way, I think you can say, oh, God, and mean it in a non-cursing way, but too often we say, oh, God, like it's just another. And I hate this. Here's what I hate, the old man upstairs. Hey, if you ain't written to somebody at your top of your house, you shouldn't be saying that. Amen. He's not an old man upstairs. He's not some white-bearded guy on the throne that you go in and ask for toys. That's not the God that we serve. It's irreverent. The Bible says, blessed be the Most High. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all praise. Blessed be thy glorious name. What a name we have this morning. We hallow and sanctify God's name when we love His name. Oh, the name. How sweet the name. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Blessed name. And I love those songs about the name of Jesus. In fact, when I say the name of Jesus, many of you will get a tear in your eye. You think about that precious name. When we hallow His name when we give Him a holy and spiritual worship. Can I say to you this morning, we have got to get back in our churches to piety and decency and godly and lifting up His name. We hallow and sanctify His name when we hallow His day. In fact, the Bible says this in Jeremiah, hallow ye the Sabbath day. Now, we know that people say, well, we don't worship on the Sabbath. Sabbath's on Saturday. But we worship on the Lord's day. In fact, you realize that it was called in history the Day of Light? And that Christians would gather on the first day of the week, the Lord's day, and they kept it holy. They refrained from work. They stayed away from ungodliness and idleness or sinfulness. And they did what God wanted to do on that day. They set it aside. We've lost that in our culture. Now it's just another day. It should not be. Read your Bible. You'll find that's a lot more in the Word of God than you realize. We ought to hallow His day. In fact, the Bible says, bring no burden on the Sabbath day in Jeremiah. Now, I know we're not under the law, and you don't go to hell. You don't lose any favor with God because you do something on the Lord's day. But listen, friend, if they were that serious about the Sabbath, should we not be serious about the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? I said, should we not be serious about the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Sunday has changed my life. It was on Sunday that I heard preaching. It was on Sunday that I heard singing. It was on Sunday that I heard testimonies. It's on God's day. They say, look, we're going to church today, boys. We ain't mowing the yard today. We're not hoeing taters today. We're not putting up wood today. We're not getting in coal today. We're going to God's house. Can we say America needs to get back into the house of God? Most of you know family and friends and loved ones. And to be honest with you, part of their downward spiral was when they left God's house. It's part of their spiral. Part of America's spiral is when we left God's house. We need to get back to honoring His name. We hallow and sanctify His name when all we do honors Him. Everything we do. Now, let me ask you this. When you do it, can you do it in the name of the Lord? You ever want to punch somebody out? Don't y'all lie. I hear him announcers on TV and they start talking bad about West Virginia and I'm going. They can't do it in the name of the Lord, though, can you? You cannot do it in the name of the Lord. You cannot rob a bank in the name of the Lord. You can't go to the bar in the name of the Lord. Now I know people try to say that. I said, you ain't talking about the same God I'm talking about. We hallow Him by obeying Him. How does a son honor his father more than by obeying his Father. By obeying, by being obedient, we hallow and sanctify God's name when we lift up His name in our praises. Do you know, God talks about lifting up our name in praises. In fact, in Revelation chapter verse 13, it says, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb forever. In Revelation 5:13. In fact, if you read Revelation, you'll see the name. You'll see the name of God. And He had written on His thigh, a name written. A name! There's something about the name of God that you and I ought to hallow and honor in our name. We hallow His name when we sympathize with Him, when we grieve when His name suffers. It ought to bother us if God gets dishonored. It bothers me to hear Christians and preachers and churches dishonor the name of God. It ought to bother us this morning. It ought to bother you today. It bothers you when America's dishonored. It bothers you if somebody, when you watch, hey, how many of y'all, when you watch TV and you see somebody desecrating the flag, does it bother you? I'm thinking we ought to fly a plane right over top of them about right now and let them know just who we are. But can I say to you, we're more bothered by that than we are the name of our God? I don't like somebody to say something bad about my wife's name. It hurts me. It hurts me. Somebody say something bad about your name. It hurts me. But should we not be that way about our God? We hallow His name when we honor the Son. I know folks today, we know that as Christians, we ought to honor the Son. We hallow His name by standing up for His truths. We as Christians are going to have to stand up for God's truth again. We honor His name by doing that. We hallow His name by making as many proselytes for Him as we can. If you have something, if you know something, it concerns me that more people are more interested in selling insurance or selling whatever ware they have in their business than they are of proselyting for the name of God. See, it's the name of God that's going to change somebody's life. We hallow God's name and we prefer to honor His name before the dearest things in our life. What are you putting above the name of God? What are we putting in front of God's name? We hallow His name, and I'll stop here and I can go on. By having holy conversations, we ought to be talking about the things of God. We ought to be looking to the things of God. Right here, when the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray, here we are on this Sermon on the Mount, He's telling us to hallow His name. Hallowed be thy name. And they realize how serious the name of God is. Hallowed be His name. Well, the way you live your life, the way you, what you do and you don't do, it brings honor or dishonor to His name. Some of you were raised in a family and you were taught from a little boy, a little girl, don't do anything that dishonors your family name. Just remember who you are. Don't do it just for you. Think about more than just you. You're representing others. As a Christian, many times, as a preacher, I say, Lord, I'd like to do some of these things, but I don't want to dishonor your name. I don't want to bring dishonor to your name. I don't want people to associate wickedness or sin with your name. What does it mean? How do we do it? And then thirdly, this morning, don't you think with me this? Why is this so important? Brother Dallas, we kind of know this. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name. Why is this so important? Why would God make all these verses? By the way, can I say this to you? Go home and study. You see, I'm scratching the surface on this. I'm just giving you just highlights. You will find deep, deep studies on His name. You'll find His name written again and again. I've got a study that I did a few years, several years ago now. I think it's 700 different titles for the Lord in the Word of God. You read it. You read your Bible, you'll find out. I mean, remember when David, how many of y'all remember the story of David and Goliath? David didn't come and say, boy, I've got a beautiful, I love the name David, what a great name. Hey, David didn't come and say, I'm coming to you because I'm pretty. David was pretty. He didn't come say, I'm a good shot. David was a good shot. He didn't come say, I'm a great warrior. He was a great warrior. He didn't come and say, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesse. And that was who his dad was. What did he come? He said, I come in the name of what? The Lord of hosts. In fact, can we say this morning, when we think about that great victory, we say, David won a victory. I'm going to tell you who won the victory. God won the victory. David was the tool? Absolutely. Did God use him? Sure he did. But it's that story is not about David. It's about God. When Jesus died on the cross, that's not about us. It's about Christ. The Bible's not about us. It's about God. Why is it so important? Let me give you three things and we'll go home. One, because we must, as a nation, get back to God. We saw what went on in Charlottesville where they're protesting, tearing down statues. We saw people marching in the streets. We see now the statistics of young people that say they don't even believe in God is climbing and climbing, not only in America, but all over the world. I think it's 30 years old and down now. I think it's either 40 or 60% of people in the UK say they do not believe in God. That is a staggering figure if it's true. They're called nuns, and not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E. They have no affiliation of religion whatsoever. Let me say to you this morning, we think about what's wrong with America. We could probably go back in a time and when America quit reverencing the name of God. Remember when you was a kid, anybody in here ever get in trouble for cussing when you was growing up? You don't have to raise your hand. I remember one time, my parents were split up, but I was a kid and I cussed. I never will forget, I went to Knob Elementary in Princeton, which I don't think is even there anymore. And my mom told my dad got me on the weekends. And my dad's hardly ever disciplined me, but he said, listen, you ain't gonna cuss. And literally washed my mouth out with soap. Anybody ever had that experience? If you've ever had that happen, you never forget it. Am I right? I can taste it right now. I mean, it's nasty. But I knew then, I was like, man, they're serious about this thing. I was cussing. There was some boys that was near us, like had a little gang. Well, I was wanting to cuss. I could cuss a blue streak. I wasn't, but in second grade, you might want to stop when you're in second grade. And I remember they was like, and they said, don't you ever, and I used one word when a person didn't have a mom. I was good at that word. I didn't know what it meant. Till later on, I was like, well, what are they washed my mouth out so? I was good at using so many words. Hey, but one thing they said, don't you ever, and I can see almost the tear. I can see it right now. I can see the tears coming in their eyes. Oh, son, don't ever do that. Don't ever use God's name in vain. And even people that were outside of church, they go, man, don't say that. Don't use God's name in vain. What happened to those things? He said, well, you're famous spiritual. No, they wasn't. My dad, we were a mess. We were an absolute train wreck. It was God that was intervening in our lives. We said, man, we've got to get... Let me say something to you. The Black Lives Matter and the White Lives Matter and the InfoHales, the Jennifer Lawrences. I can go on and on this morning. The Hollywood crowd, the national crowd that puts a cuss word in every other line of their song. The New York City crowd, the Madison Avenue, the Muslim, whatever crowd you're thinking about. Can we say this morning, we have lost a reverence to God? And I remember you'd come to church, a man would take his hat off in church out of sheer respect and fear. You got together on Halloween night, we'll go down and egg the church. Somebody, you can be the meanest guy in the crowd. So we ain't egging no church. Number one, my mama's going to kill me. Number two, God will kill us. Can I say to you this morning, we've got to get back to realizing God will kill us. He said, brother, I said, God's that way? We're talking about we ought to reverence His name. At His name. You say, what's the big deal about His name? Remember, when Moses went to talk to Pharaoh, what was his big question he had? He said, who do I supposed to say you are? In other words, what's your name? I feel a little preaching coming on. Y'all all right? And what did God say? I am. How can you have a name when you're the great I am? He's the great I am. Amen. They shall call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sin. He is called Emmanuel. Amen. Prince of Peace. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. I could go on and on and on. Hey, y'all right? He is the rock. There's been a lot better messages than this been preached just on His name. Can I say to you this morning that America, not just America, let's not just talk about America, let's talk about our families, just about our community. We've got an opiate epidemic right here in Summers and Mercer County, in southern West Virginia. In fact, the whole nation. Let me tell you what we really need. Yeah, they need to get off of drugs, absolutely. But let me tell you what they really need is, hey, getting back to God. So, man, I ain't going down there because God will get mad. Don't care if mom and dad get mad. Don't care if papa, don't care what the preacher says. I want to please God with my life. And then secondly, write this down. Why is it so important? We must put God at the right place in our lives. Just one thing to say, well, everybody else needs to do it, but what about us? When's the last time you just stopped saying, Lord, hallowed be your name? I'm not going to name the name of Christ if I'm not going to be... I can almost respect folks that don't want to be hypocritical. I think it's a cop-out to not go to church. But if you're going to be a hypocrite and live like a heathen and live in adultery and sin and go around living wicked all the time and then name the name of Christ, I kind of admire somebody that just says, you know what, I'm not going to do that. It's time for Christians to get serious. It'd be good for a lot of churches to dwindle down to about half. Don't get mad at me. I don't want to do that. I'll see it tonight in church. That's okay. It'd be good. If 30,000 people in a church can't open up the doors during the flood, hey, listen, friend, it's time somebody somewhere gets serious about this thing. We quit playing around, goofing around. And I'm not judging about it or being mean, but I've heard a lot of famous preachers in the last couple of weeks been trying to listen to what they really say. They're like, what is wrong with us? And the people that really do believe, hey, you go to the communities. We were in several communities the last week. We had a hard time finding churches that have Sunday night service, that have Wednesday night service, that believe the Bible, that had preaching. I was like, what in the world? What's happened to us? I'm talking about, hey, listen, we're living in a day. Hey, we've got to get God back in place in our lives. See, we're worried about us. It's all about us. You know why we're so offended? Because we've not addicted ourselves to the ministry. The Bible says Christians, there's a verse there that says they addicted themselves to the ministry. If you're addicted to God, you ain't going to worry about getting offended. You can't offend somebody if they got an addiction. Late the other night, I forget what night it was, Cindy and I were in Princeton. I'm talking about it's 11:30, 12 o'clock. We just got back. Here come, they spot me a mile away. I wasn't even in a church van. And they come and say, can you do it? And I said, man, I've got somebody waiting on me the other direction to help them. And I thought, you know, if you're addicted to something and they look like they were, you don't care who you ask for a ride. You don't care what. Hey, you have no, it's not about you. It's all about that addiction. You and I ought to be addicted to the things of God. I mean, you're addicted. It don't bother you. You'll line up. It don't bother you. You'll do whatever it takes to get to God. Let me say this lastly this morning. You say, what's the big deal, Brother Dallas? I'm going to say this to you. It's the only hope you have. It's the only hope we have. Y'all been on planet Earth a little while. I've heard people complain since I was a kid of how rough we're having in America. Every politician, we're the poorest we've ever been. It's not true, right? It can't be. We talk about, man, we need this politician to get in charge. We need our economy. We need the coal mines. Hey, here's the thing about it. I want the coal mines to boom. I really do. I'm a coal mining lover. I love it. But it's not going to do any good if we have a booming coal mine and a dwindling church. It's not going to be good if our coffers are full of money, but our hearts are empty of God. That's not going to help us any. That's not going to help marriages. I'd like to see our marriages and our homes get strong again, wouldn't you? I'm going to tell you something. There's no book you're going to read. I love reading books. I'm a book guy. But there's no whatever it is in your life, there's nothing that you can do. Hey, we'll try to raise our young people. I've got a book on my desk right now about parenting and raising your family. There's nothing good in us. There's nothing we can read by another man outside of this book right here, the Lord's book. There's nothing. Hey, we have no hope outside of God. See, we almost act like we have some hope outside of God. No, don't misunderstand. We ought to do everything we can to help all the people that we can. But the only hope we have is to hallow His name. If I start having trouble in my marriage with my sweetheart, read some books. There's some good things out there. But you know what I really need to do is hallow God's name in my life. I need to get pious. I need to get serious with God. You see, we've gotten away from that, even in our churches. We've gotten away from piety. We studied last night in the book of James in our Bible study. We've gotten away from being pious, being serious with God. You want to have a great influence in our community? Is if our church starts living godly. I mean, get the sin out of your life. Get the habits out of your life. Get in your word. Get on your knees and start worshiping God and saying, hallowed be thy name. The Lord's saying here in this Sermon on the Mount, we have to hallow his name again. We had Cassian's birthday party yesterday, and I had a good time. Man, he had a lot of toys, 5 Christmases worth, I think. And I appreciate all that, and the cake and all that. I don't appreciate the cake as much, but anyway, one thing I want for Cashton and your children and grandchildren, little Blakely and Weston, and I can go, your children and grandchildren, Lexi, and on through this building, Isaiah and Anson. What we really want, though, what we really could get, you know, it'd be a great honor to me, is to see him say, hallowed be his name. You think about your grandbaby saying, Papa, Mama, Mimi, Gigi, whatever. I'm on Sunday school. I love Jesus. Amen. Amen. Think about your son. I sat there the other last night listening to my son that just a few years ago I was trying to teach him how to shoot basketball, honoring God's name. I'll be honest with you, I started crying. I see some teenager opening up the Word of God. We had this boy teach Sunday school this morning. I remember he got saved. Teaching Sunday school, you tell me. Is it better? It gets better than that? I don't know. I don't know. It gets better than honoring God's name. You want to get, hey, if a church got on its knees and said, God, we want to honor your name again in our life. God, help us as a nation to honor your name. Our ancestors, there's a reason America was a bright and shining light. It's because we said we're going to honor his name. See, today we want to honor everything. We don't do everything. We don't honor ourselves. I see even preachers with 575 selfies on their Instagram. I think if you're 50 years old, you might want to quit taking pictures of yourself. That's a different message. Can I say this to you, though? Look, I understand that. I really do. I appreciate some of those things. We've got to get away from honoring ourselves and honor his name. Hallowing his name. Well, at least we'll have a reverence and an awe. There ought to be a fear. There ought to be a scaredness, if I can say it that way. When we think about the thing, man, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm going to hallow his name. You show me a young man or a young woman, you show me a family, you show me a marriage where that husband, that wife says, you know what, we don't have all the answers, but we're going to hallow his name. We're going to be serious. Somebody starts saying, God said, don't say it around my parents. Don't you say that. They will get fired. That's good. That's good. When a Christian walks in a room, it ought to bring constant conviction. Not because of who we are, but because of who we represent. Some of the Lord's helped me with is sometimes people, I go around people and they won't speak and they'll kind of run the other way. It bothers me. I'm like, man, did I not take a bath? What's wrong? Did I say something and offended them? And I finally figured out it could be who I represent. And if that's the case, fine. Fine. Let's represent him. Let's hold him up. Not to look at us, but to look at him. Our country needs it. Our community needs it. Hey, listen, we've got beer joints popping up all around our church. We ought to start praying God to shut them down. We ought to start praying. By the way, not just God shut them down, but we live in such a way that their conviction and their guilt starts to bother them. It ought to bother people. Man, I don't want to go to that church. Why? Well, they're too little too serious for us. Good. That's okay. Because I don't want to play anymore, do you? Hallowed be thy name. By the way, if you don't like this, you're not going to like heaven. You read Revelation, you'll see again and again, his name, his name, his name. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Let's all stand with every head bowed and eye closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to bring the message you put on my heart. I thank you for our